that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
And well, it has. It is Saturday. Got to look at the calendar. I don't even know what day it is. Saturday, January 10th, 2015. And we welcome you here to you're starting to get a sunrise here at the Radio Ranch, but it's dark and it's not even really cold. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
What is it, 32, 34 outside?
It was over freezing, so it's supposed to get 40 today. So.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And John will join us if he's up for it. He said he wasn't feeling too good last night. Got a text from him, and but he said if he didn't have too bad an upset stomach, he'd join us. So maybe he'll join us in a little bit. But either way, but yeah, we are the I'm not going to say the warm part of the spot of the country, but it is warmer here. Got a text from family. It was 6 degrees back east, and. That's pretty cold. That's pretty cold back there. So
not even just east. You mean south? East.
Branson, 5 degrees this morning. You want to talk about an Arctic chill? St. Louis, 10. And it's just cold. I think they call it wintertime. Good old-fashioned wintertime. But that's all right. We'll take it. Our Lord gives it to us. Well, Jason, if you'll open us up in prayer, we'll go from there.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and I thank you for this opportunity and for all that you do for us, Father. Pray that you guide and direct. Pray that you do the work that needs to be done, Father. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen.
Amen. And the program is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And, we got our coffee here. I brought two over. Came over a little bit early this morning and didn't want to run out today. So brought my big mug and thought we'd open up the phone lines a little early today. A lot going on in the world. as in the country here as far as current events from ex-military generals not only kicked out, but maybe up for arrest. And, of course, the alleged Muslim terrorist act over in Paris. And a little bit of everything else, I guess, in between. So, but we do have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. If you have a comment, Jason, didn't know if you wanted to start with something down there, and we'll rotate back up here if you want.
I had an interesting post that I read actually this morning. It was just posted on the Drudge Report this morning, and it said that every single French Jew I know has left. Every single Jew I know has left Paris. Editor of Britain's Jewish Chronicle claims people are fleeing terror. And interesting article. You don't see very many headlines like that. And it was by Stephen Pollard, editor of the Jewish Chronicles. And he says that Jews are fleeing France and that it's going to increase because of today's terror attacks. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Another one that I thought was pretty interesting was this mystery booms rattle and scare livestock in Oklahoma. And basically, central Oklahoma. Throughout this last week, they just had these. They sounded like sonic booms. Can't identify them. Couldn't tell what they are. Yeah, nobody knows. And it was kind of interesting. Just they thought that they might have been leaked to earthquakes, but that all came back negative. They thought it might have been due to fracking, and they just can't figure out what they were. They figure that they have to be something that was over the surface, but calling it the mystery noise. I guess heard very frequently in over about a 3-county area, and nobody knows what they are, so that was kind of interesting.
Wow. Boy, everything gets blamed on fracking anymore, you know? It's one of the one things that have brought the American economy out of the dumps over the last several years. But, so now the booms, the sonic booms in Oklahoma and the earthquakes in Texas, of course, had earthquakes in Texas last week, had, I think, 11 in 2 days. But it seems like they started, they ran for a few days, and then that was it. But some people were blaming that on fracking, or at least pumping the groundwater back in. And so, interesting times we live in, that's for sure. That is for sure.
So where were those Jews from France going to escape the terror? Does it say?
No, they said that, it didn't say that. It said that over, I believe, 500,000 of them had left over the last 18 months, but never did say where they were going.
I'm sure if they're going to Jerusalem, they're not going to get away from any terror there. They're, I don't know where they would go.
You know, I heard a thing here in the States that, Oregon and Washington State, were growing population-wise at a large. They weren't the top two or three. I think Florida's been the top number one for a while, for legals. And then, of course, California and Texas for illegals. But, that Oregon and Washington State were really growing, and the people that were moving there were moving out of New York and New Jersey. So maybe they're making a little room for them over there.
Maybe. Yeah.
Who knows? So. Well.
Yeah.
Looking into those earthquakes in Texas, I guess they were kind of north. I spoke to one of our friends from Texas this week, and he's a little, I think he's a little further west Texas, but said, yeah, they'd heard a little bit about them, but, I would think that would really be big news,
That many in such a short time. What, 48-hour period, right, 11?
Yeah, I had 11 or 10, 11, 12, something like that. And
you're talking about the Dallas-Fort Worth area, so it's not like it's out in the boonies.
Right. So maybe they just, shrug it up to hurricanes in Florida and wildfires out west, you know, that it's just something that happens. But it didn't seem like it was that big of a deal. He said he'd heard a little bit about it on the radio, but that was about it. So maybe it's not. Maybe it's just one of those things that happens.
Hopefully some of the people there are shrugging it up to Mark 13 and Matthew 24, where it talks about the birth pangs and the earthquakes in various places, because that's where they should be. That's where their mind should be when the earth trembles, you know, and you want to blame the oil fields workers or the frackers or whatever you want to blame. The Bible says God causes earthquakes.
Yeah, it does. Well, let's go to the phone lines, and maybe we'll come back to that Mark 13. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. I'd like some prayer or something. Thursday night, pretty sure I tore my retina. I've got these flashing lights and multiple floaters, and looked into the medical solutions that look kind of frightening. And I'd like some prayer for that. And also that for my state of mind and my heart, soul, and mind, that I don't further contribute to this deterioration do something positive to, you know, affect the healing in Jesus Christ.
Well, we can sure do that, Bill. Well, Heavenly Father, you heard the request from our brother there in Illinois, Lord, and we lift him up. Lord, if it's a torn retina, if it's whatever eye problem it is, Lord, floaters, and Lord, we need our eyes to see, and Bill needs his. And so we present him to you for a healing, Lord, that, Lord, you'd look kindly down upon him. Father, your Holy Spirit would flow down, and Lord, we see your healing coming upon his eyes, Lord. We ask it. We come to you boldly, Lord, as those that have been washed in your blood. And that's our request, Lord. It's his request, and we just amplify it up to you. Father, be with him. Guide and direct him. Lord, he even says he doesn't want to do anything physically or spiritually, Lord, that would make it worse. Lord, we want things done physically and spiritually that'll make it better. And so we ask your Holy Spirit to be there, Lord. We read in your word where you've healed those that were blind, Lord, those that were lame. So we know you can do it, Lord. Our request is that you will. Lord, we thank you for being a living God that not only allows us but tells us and directs us to bring our request to you. And we do this here, Lord. We do it out of obedience. Lord, we do it in humility, but Lord, also in boldness, because we know you. We know who we believe in, Lord. We know who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who saves us from our sins and heals us from our sicknesses. And it's to you we make this petition. We do it to your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Sure, Bill. Thank you.
Goodbye.
All right. 307-745-5913 is the number. If you want to call in, and we'll be glad to take it. You know, Kyle, you had mentioned that Mark 13, and it talks about the earthquakes, the nation rising against nation, the wars and rumors of wars. It talks about those things, the beginning of birth pangs. And, you know, the example that it uses with a woman being in labor, you know, there's a labor pain, and it goes away. And it seems like everything's fine, you know. If you remember back to when your wife's been in labor.
I kind of remember that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's why he uses that example, is because as husbands, we've been with our wives that have been through labor pains, you remember that's how it is. It's not that it just hits and then it's that way from then on. And
well, yeah, at first you're like, is it getting close? Is it, you think it's time? Or, I mean, you start, these are the questions that come up. And these should be the questions that are coming up in Christians, you know, minds right now. Well, as these earthquakes happen, or whatever it is, a whirlwind, or whatever it is that's happening around you, a war maybe, or rumors of war, all these things, you know, should be, well, is it getting close? Is it time? Do you think we should get prepared? I mean, yeah. You know, we didn't go anywhere. We didn't, like, start up the car because we, you know, had midwives. But, you know, that's the thoughts, that's the questions, you know, that should be coming up on every Christian's mind if they're a Christian, yeah. If they know the Word of God at all.
Jason, I think it's real interesting that news article that you mentioned about the fleeing of the Jews from Paris.
Yeah, it is.
Because those people, they seem to be in the know, you know? As far as worldly events, especially terrorist activities, you know, like how many of them didn't go to work on 9/11/01 in the World Trade Center's towers?
I don't know how many it was, but it was a lot of them.
Yeah, I don't think any of them went to work on 9/11 that worked in the World Trade Center. You know, it's what I've heard in the past. Of course, you don't see you don't see CNN and MSNBC and all that. You know, putting that out, that, these are God's chosen people and God told them not to go to work that day. You don't see that kind of stuff. But they certainly didn't go to work that day for some reason. And so they do seem to be, when it comes to worldly terrorism events anyway, kind of in the know. So with them fleeing Paris, sure might be something there.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. And then, you know, you see it on the front page, of, I mean, top headline story on the Drudge Report, too. You also wonder, you know, if it's giving them a signal, you know, get out. You know, you just don't know. It's interesting, especially when you're dealing with these serpent people. I think so much of the time people have a problem is because they try to understand their way of thinking, and you know you can't. You know, if you're a natural man, you don't understand their way of thinking. They're slithery, slimy, you know, no good, slippery sons of hell, and you know they're crafty little bastards. And they, you know, they've got so many different ways and of. You know, is it a collective consciousness that is telling them, you know, get out, or is it, are they getting told to get out, or is it their father, the devil, telling them to get out? You know, it's something.
Yep. And we cannot defeat our enemy. We cannot even survive against our enemy without our king, without the direction that he gives us. I think that's where so many have failed. They try to get out of this in the physical, and it's a spiritual battle, and you can't. Well, let's try the phone lines again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. Your question about where the Jews were moving.
Uh-huh.
I heard on a radio program about a week ago that there was a flood of Yiddish-speaking Jews moving into southern Argentina.
Really? That's interesting.
Yep, just want to let you know that's what I heard.
Well, appreciate that.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye.
Kyle, you got your Bible open there.
Oh, yeah, I just turned to Malachi 4, because it kind of... It's the last chapter of the last book of what they call the Old Testament. But anyway, it talks about the day that's coming, and it says, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day is coming, will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord. And this is a hope that, you know, that we're supposed to read and build upon, because this goes right along with what it's talking about in the last days of the New Testament, of the Gospels, and of Paul's teachings. And, you know, because Paul talks about even, we will tread upon them and they will be ashes under the soles of our feet. You know what I mean? Now, how this is, like, we talked a little bit this week about it, Richard, about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they went into the fire and they weren't even harmed.
Yeah.
But yet the mighty warriors, the valiant warriors, I think the Word of God says, that threw them in. They didn't even go in the furnace. But the fire was so hot that it burnt them up and killed them, you know. And, of course, you know, you talked about sharing this story with some of your children, and the moral of the story, the best part of the story is that fourth person that was in that furnace of fire with them.
Yeah.
And that fourth person was the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And in these days that we live in, with all these rumors and all these earthquakes and all these things happening, you got to have the Son of God, and you will then heed to the scripture of the 91st Psalm, where the plagues come and all these things come, and they will not harm you, and we'll find ourselves, or somebody's going to find themselves, walking on their ashes. You know, now what that means exactly, nobody knows. I know what it means in my mind, but you know. And I know that everybody has their own thoughts on what that means. But the it really doesn't matter. What matters is this hope that is given to true sons of God.
Yes.
You know, that's quite a hope. So it's just like the birth pangs. You know, I mean, the result of those birth pangs is glorious. You know, I mean, when your child is born, there's nothing like it. I didn't want children. You know, I was one of the, you know, I didn't feel like I could goo-goo anybody or baby talk, or, you know, I really didn't want children. But I found that after those birth pangs were done, what a glorious thing that was. It changed my life forever. You know, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I can say amen to that. And that's how those birth pangs are, you know, and they're in Mark 3:13. It's talking about the birth pangs, you know. It's not talking there about the glory that's coming, but it's talking about the birth pangs. And it tells us there to be on your guard there in 13:9. And so many today have let down their guard, you know. If they don't even realize that this day is coming, they don't realize the war we're in, well, then you don't have your guard up. You don't have your armor on, you know. You can very well be surprised and taken over. You know, there's a bit more there. You read the first half of Malachi 4, and it is a warning that there's a day coming. And, you know, verse 2, it says, "But for you who fear my name," and... You know, we are to fear his name. Now, there's a lot that goes in with that. You know, the footnote says revere. Mm-hmm. That's part of it. I don't have an Amplified Bible here, but I like how the Amplified, you know, tells and helps explain just what that means. It means who believe in him, for sure, but it doesn't end there. You know, just like it means fear, it does mean fear. It means revere. And then reading on the last half of Malachi 4, because
there's only six verses.
There's only
Malachi.
Six verses, right? So
and
verse
a
four
lot in them. Yeah.
Verse 4 says, "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel." And You know, if you, we are to remember that those, Amen. And we are to keep them, and we are to have, you know, our civil government set up the way it once was, based on the laws of the Bible. If you're reading your Bible this year, if you're using the Bible reading plan, the help that we've put out to help you, to remind you to read your Bible, you're back in Genesis, and you should be up to, oh, you need to read Genesis 30 and 31 today. But when you read there in that part of Genesis, what you've been reading this past week is you read about a man called Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham, and a covenant that God made with Abraham, and he told him that through his seed the whole world would be blessed. And I understand, like you said earlier, Kyle, some people understand things different, look at things different. Well, I understand that to mean the whole world. That through his seed, of course his people would be blessed, but the whole world would be blessed. The Zulus will be blessed, are supposed to be blessed through Abraham's seed. The Chinese are supposed to be blessed. And that's just making an assumption that they aren't enemies of God.
Well, what's the best way to remember the law of Moses? You might say read the Bible. Yeah, everybody says that. But how about put his laws on your mind and on your heart? And not to get into baptism again, but that's where it goes. That's where it goes. Does. That's the connection. You know, Jason talked about the Antichrist and their connection with their father, the devil. That's the connection we have with our Father who's in heaven. It's called the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? Not that should keep you from reading. That should just make you have discernment and make you have understanding and wisdom, you know, while you pray and read the Bible. So those things are implanted on your mind and on your heart. So as you walk, you know, you'll be remembering the laws and the commandments and the ordinances and the statutes that Moses
Amen.
Gave. You know?
Amen. Anyway. And I like how it ends here, this verse 5 and 6, because our pastor saw this years ago, and I know he prayed it time and time again. And he did his best to get this out to the remnant, for the remnant to see that there is a benefit here, and there's another sign, there's another birth pang, I guess you could call it. But like a birth pang, it's another sign of the great and terrible day of the Lord coming, of what happens before. And in verse 5 it says, "Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse." And, you know, we haven't seen that, but I can tell you in the 13 years I've been out here, that in the remnant, that I've seen this. You know, we have seen, now, with every single person, no, but we have seen this with so many. We have seen the hearts of the fathers return to caring about their children, to wanting to leave them an inheritance, to wanting to teach and train them up in the way they should go so that when they're older they won't depart from it. You know? With every single person? No. But we've sure seen it with some in the remnant that we didn't see it before. And, you know, and turning the hearts of the children back to their fathers. We've seen that with children. And, you know, children grow up and end up being 30-somethings and 40-somethings and more. And we've seen that. The hearts that were once stony and hard and cold and indifferent and uncaring, well, we've seen them change and care about their fathers and their mothers and honor and respect them. And, you know, we read this term here several times throughout the Word. And you know, think about that remnant. This is the final instructions from the Old Testament. And then you kind of take I guess in the old movies they used to have an interlude. Is that what they called it, Jason, back in the old days, before all of our time? But they'd have a big long movie and they'd have an interlude. You know, they'd pause, and you know, okay, you can get up, go to the restroom, get you another soda or popcorn or something, and we'll come back for the rest of the story. And, you know, when this Old Testament, this little
interlude. Oh, I think you're thinking of intermission.
Intermission. Maybe that's it. Yeah, intermission. That fits a little better. You know, this one page here in the middle of the Bible between Malachi and Matthew that says the New Testament, it's a pause. About what, 800 years? Is that about between Malachi and Matthew, about that 700-800 years, yeah, I think, is the general understanding. Not being Bible scholars, I'm not sure the exact time frame, but I think we're close to that. So you have a 700 or 800 year intermission here, and then you kind of get to part two. But the final instructions given there, I mean, all of Malachi, it's only a page or two. All of Malachi is instructions, of course. But that final admonition that the day is coming, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. And you know, if you've ever had calves, or even if you've ever driven down the road and seen them, and usually in the springtime, I know coming back from Colorado this week, there's one herd down there in the edge of La Porte that they've already got calves. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you see the calves doing that, literally as it says, they're, you know, skipping about from the stall. They're full of life. They're full of energy. They sure seem happy. And that's the promise that he gives us. That's the promise that he gave us 700 years before the New Testament.
You know, and I can't read that without thinking of John the Baptist, because it tells how he came in the spirit of Elijah.
Yes.
And if you want to know how the hearts of the fathers and the hearts of the children are changed, read what John the Baptist preached. He had that spirit of Elijah, and he here's what he did, folks. He pointed his finger at whomever and said, "Repent." You know, and it's no different than a father with his child. They've went astray, and you point your finger at them and you say, "Knock it off." And sometimes there was punishment, sometimes there was just chastisement verbally or whatever, but that's how you change the hearts of the fathers to the children. It's the same story throughout. It's from 2 Chronicles 7:14 or even before that, but clear through Revelations. It's the same story. And that's John the Baptist came to prepare the way for the Lord. And what's the first thing Peter tells you to do? What shall we do, Peter? Well, repent.
Right.
Because you've went astray. You've killed our Lord. You know, his blood is on everybody's hands. You know, and if you want to get your hearts right with God, and this is how you do it. You repent. And then you get baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's the same story, but it's said in different ways, you know. But
right.
But if you want to know, and I used to want to know, how is he going to do that? You know, how is he going to change the hearts? You know, well, the Bible tells us. All we got to do is read it. You know, mm-hmm. John the Baptist wasn't. You know, people that had a conversion or a calling or however you want to put it, when they went to John the Baptist, well, they repented. You know,
yeah.
When Herod and his wife and his brother's wife, and I mean, are walking by, they weren't into repentant. You know that. I don't want to hear that crazy old guy over there, but that's really how it's done. And the ones that heed the calling and heed the words of not just John, but all the apostles and the foundations, and, you know, and I heeded that when I heard Pastor Peters, because he came. He had that same spirit.
He did.
The spirit that you better knock it off, buddy, you know, or...
Yeah. He called a spade a spade. He called a sin a sin. And, it didn't matter who it was on or where it was at. And that was that spirit of Elijah, you know. You know, make ready the way. I mentioned that Thursday night. I've got it written down here. I was looking into that last week. And, you know, we see that three times. We see it in Luke, we see it in Mark, and then again in John, of that term, make ready the way. And that's what John was doing. And, you know, that's what we have to continue to do today, is to make ready the way, because
there's a furnace of fire coming.
There is a furnace. There's a day coming, and, you know, I think the way that leads to that furnace is very broad and very wide, and the way that leads to protection from it is a very straight and narrow way. And, you know, Malachi had it down right. Fear the Lord. You know, and if you fear him, you'll love him, you'll revere him, you'll honor him. You know, you will get mad. You know, Kyle, you've mentioned a couple times about, you know, you try to watch a movie and boy, you know, using the Lord's name in vain is just like using the day of the week anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, that that should outrage us. You know, it should make us mad. Jason, I know you've mentioned times of, especially being down there walking through and driving through Fort Collins, of seeing the abominations that are there. And it just, it makes you mad.
Right.
It gives you outrage, and righteously so. Righteously,
yeah,
so.
Exactly. You know, what you really hate is when you hate when you, you know, see somebody that, you know, especially when they do it in the name of Christianity. That's what really makes it that much worse. You know, when you see it in the churches, and it's just, I mean, just blaspheming.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really gets me, and really, you know, sometimes have a hard time with it. It's, you know, it's just all over the place.
Yeah, I you know, you kind of expect to see accepting adulterers Tuesday nights at 7. You know, accepting adulterers. You know, it's they were born that way.
Or slanderers, or revilers, or
yeah.
You know, you just
yeah.
never know, you know, what to expect. It's when you it's. You know, sometimes it's not so much when you see it in the world, but it's like they got their own, and it's like, where do they come up with this? It's like they think it's cool or something.
Yeah. They become God, and they decide what's right and wrong. And if you out there, if any of us, we get to the point that, well, I'm okay with that. I don't see a problem with that. Well, you know, it really doesn't matter. A rat's blue, you know what you think about it. It doesn't. It's what does the Word say about it, and what does God think about it? And, you know, if God calls it an abomination, if God says that liars don't make it into the kingdom, then, buddy, you better not be a liar. And if it says the covetous don't make it into the kingdom, then it doesn't matter what you think about it. You better not covet. You better find out what covet means. You know, and if you got covetous thoughts, you better take them captive.
That's a tough one.
It is a tough one, because the covetous, the liars, the abominable, they don't make it into the kingdom. Doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what your friendly Baptist preacher tells you on Sunday morning. Does not matter. It's what does the Word say. And if you want to sit back and just rely on what that Baptist preacher says, or what any of us tell you it says, then shame on you. And, you know, when that great and terrible day comes, as Malachi 4 says, if you haven't searched it out, if you haven't looked into it and found out, if you haven't verified either what we tell you the Bible says, or what that Baptist preacher tells you on Sunday morning, well, then, you know, you're responsible for that. Each and every one of us are. And yeah, Jason, I know what you mean. That's what I was trying to get across, is that, yeah, you see these churches. They'll have, you know, and they have their little, whatever you call it, abbreviations for it. You know, it'll be free or love or something. And it's accepting the sinner is what it is.
And we're warned, you know, like, and I agree 100% with Jason. That's the ones that bothers me the most, is the ones that says they're a Christian. But we're warned that they will be saying, here's Christ, or there's Christ. And, you know, how many times have we been, have we heard in our life, or we maybe give Pastor Peter's CD to somebody, and they'll say, well, I didn't feel the love of Christ, because they don't know Christ. The love of Christ comes with chastisement and rebuke and reproof. I mean, you know, and you're sitting there looking, are you kidding me? This guy has so much love for you, he's telling you to knock it off, or something bad's going to happen to you, you know? And they don't understand that. Their love of Christ, or their Christ, is people that only say good things to you,
right,
and tell you how much God loves you,
right,
you know? Well, that's those that are saying, well, here's Christ over here in this church. No, no, that's not Christ.
Yeah.
You might have got half of him or a quarter of him, but that's not Christ.
Right.
You know?
That Mark 13 that we've talked about this morning says that very thing. You know, Jesus began to say to them, see to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name saying, I am he, and will mislead many. And so many people today think, oh, a figure's going to arise, a person's going to rise, and he's going to get wounded and then come back to life like Jesus did, and everybody's going to think he's Jesus. No, that's not it. It's just like you described, Kyle. They say, oh, we preach Christ over here. This is the love of Jesus here, and it's not. And the warning from Christ when he just, you know, he's fixing to go on and say, be on your guard. But he says, don't be misled. And many of the churches today,
that's how they keep people
misled
in the pews.
Yeah. But you know, right here in Mark 13, 3, a word that I highlighted here, Mark 13, starting in verse 3, says, and as he was sitting, and that's Jesus, is the he there, and as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew were questioning him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled? And that's when he goes in and says, hey, don't be misled that all these things are happening and they're birth pangs and all that. But, you know, that term there, privately, we have to remember that. You know, when Christ taught, he stood on the street corner at times. He stood on the mount and put it out to thousands. What was it, 5,000 came to see him one time that they fed with the a couple times with the loaves and the fishes. And so the masses heard the word. But many times it was privately that the word was explained. You know, and it was privately that it's given. And I don't think that it's any different today. I really don't. You're not going to get a relationship with Jesus Christ just listening to the guy on Sunday. You're not. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's not just a Saturday morning thing. It's not just a 10 o'clock mass or a Wednesday night gathering at the church. I think it has to be as it was in Matthew 13. That it is a private thing. Well, we've been talking enough. Phone lines are open. Remnant, 307-745-5913. If you want to call in this morning. You know, got a song here from the pastor. Hope it's okay. We'll play that. Maybe we'll get to the phones when we get back from that. Be right back. Do-do-do-do.
To the same simple faith as a child I once knew. Like the prodigal son, I long for my loved ones, for the comfort of home and the God I outgrew. I have returned to the God of my childhood, Bethlehem's babe, the prophet's Messiah. He's Jesus to me. eternal deity. Praise his name, I have returned. I have returned to the God of my mother with unfailing faith for the child of her heart. She said, bring them up the way that you want them. Thank God when they're grown, they'll never depart. I have returned to the God of my mother. I learned at her knee, he's lily of the valley, he's Jesus to me, eternal deity. Praise his name. I have returned. I have returned to the God of my father, the most godlike man a child could know. I just heard a shout from the angels in glory, praising the Lord, a child has come home. I have returned to the God of my Father, creator of heaven and earth, God of the universe, he's Jesus to me, eternal deity. Praise his name. I have returned. I have returned to the Jesus of Judah. On my knee I did fall, where the wall now stands. This lesson I learned as I worked my way homeward. The Savior of all is a comfort to man. I have returned to the Father of the shepherd of Moses, who called him the great I am. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. Praise his name. I have returned. I have returned to the father of Abraham, the shepherd of Moses, who called him the great I am. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. He's Jesus to me. I have returned. He's Jesus to me. I have returned.
And that is how the hearts of the fathers get turned back to the hearts of the children. And that's how the hearts of the children return to the hearts of the father. This is when we return to Christ first. Right over in Malachi 3, right before where we've been reading. No, not going to talk about tithing. But in Malachi 3, 5, it says, then I will draw near to you. And you know, we want that many times as a Christian. We should want to draw near to God and God to draw near to us. He brings us comfort. His word, as he privately explains things, lets us know what's going on in the world, tells us, you know, not to fear, that he's always with us. But before that happens, this has to happen. Malachi 3:5 says, then I will draw near to you for judgment. And he says, I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against those who swear falsely and against those who oppress the wage earner in his wages. And you can read on there. Verse 6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed." And that judgment has to be there for that true love to be there, and so that we are not consumed. So just understand that. Well, got a few minutes left. Phone's ringing. We'll go to it. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, man. This is Tom in Montana. How are you today?
Good.
Abundantly blessed, Tom. No blizzard here.
No, we're warming up today. It's going to snook off a little bit up here. Good to hear you back, Kyle.
Well, thanks, Tom.
Tay, you mentioned that the Jews are pulling out of France, or the Drudge Report said that. And, well, the Judeo-Christians are pulling out of America. They aren't going to stay here. They don't want to fight this pride. They aren't willing to fight for this land that God gave our forefathers. Seems like I hear a lot of them just on the secular people. They're just plumb fleeing the country.
They sure don't want to fight, that's for sure.
And what's this about the generals? Have you heard something about a general?
It was Petraeus. Yeah, I just saw a quick headline about, they may bring FBI, CIA, ADA, IRS, and everybody else may bring charges against him. You know, haven't seen any details of it, but with the absolute military coup that has, you know, gone on in the last several years of hundreds of military generals and colonels and high ranking in the military have been, it's not that their positions have been done away with, they've just been replaced by the abomination. And, you know, and the ones that they've been replaced with are minorities, and they're women, and they're homosexuals, and they're those that that will do what the abomination tells them to do.
Well, rejoice always.
Amen.
Like Elijah, those that are for us are greater than those that are against us.
Amen.
We do have to remember that.
Well, thank you, man, for being on the radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Yep. Take care, you guys.
All right.
That reminds me of Daniel. You know, the spirit of the Antichrist hates the Spirit of God. You know, it says there in one of the verses in Daniel 6 that Daniel had an extraordinary spirit. And so all the satraps and all the bigwigs, all the administration, they all tried to come up with this, how are we going to get Daniel? Because we can't stand that spirit he's got, basically, you know. Well, we can't get him with these things because he doesn't do anything wrong. So they make this decree up, Daniel can't pray. Well, they don't say Daniel can't pray. They say nobody can pray, but you know who they're after, you know.
Yeah.
But Daniel, you know, we talked about this yesterday on the way down to Thursday on the way down to LaPorte, Richard, and that was Daniel just went out on the balcony, so to speak, three times a day, and I imagine it was for quite some time. I don't think it was a one-minute prayer, and then he was back in. So he goes out there three times a day, and he just basically says, "I'm going to pray to my God. I don't. What can you do?
Right?
Throw me in the lion's den? My God can deliver. You know, and those people that, like Tom was talking about, that's fleeing, they don't have that spirit. They have a different kind of spirit.
And you know? And where's there to flee to? Well, you know, when God brings it, when God brings, you know, the alien up across the southern border, when God brings the earthquakes, when God brings the storms, when God brings the disease, you don't run away from God. You don't. Got time for one more caller. Hey, good morning, caller. Got about a minute.
Hey, Richard and guys there, the Wranglers. This is Joe.
Good morning.
Just wanted to chime in and tell you guys where we got about 10 degrees or so like that. Right at this point in time, the sun is shining and the sky is all blue and everything. It's gorgeous. We got about an inch of snow all told. It disappears, you know, and then it comes and snows again. But anyway, your radio signal on 9475 is booming in. So things the situation with the solar activity and that kind of thing is in our favor, I guess. Praise the Lord. So anyway, have a good night or have a good day, and we'll be listening in.
All right, Joe. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Yeah, and if you will, we appreciate those reception reports. You can go to the network website, sfawbn.com, and there's a link right there for a reception report. If you are listening in on the shortwave, we'd sure like to know where and what you're listening on and how it's coming in. And we've been getting some of those here. And our email, if you just want to email one in, is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. We also want to remind you, in the Volume 10 Dragon Slayer of 2014, we got it out, got it in the Remnant's hands just before the end of the year. And in there we have a survey. And we're starting to get some survey results back in. So we encourage you, we ask you to participate in that. Cut that out of your newsletter, fill it out, and send it in, and let us know what you're listening to and how that's benefiting you. So, well, guys, there's almost another hour up. Jason?
Another one down.
Got some words of wisdom to leave the remnant with? See, you can't say, you can't.
I just want to tell people about the Bible reading program again. Yeah. Is we got it posted for the month of January at sfaw.org. Encourage you to go there, click it, left-hand column, print it out, and try to get those scriptures in read every day.
Amen. Amen. And that is definitely some good words of wisdom, to read your word. Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us. We want to invite you all to church tomorrow. Join us at scriptures4america.org at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon out there on the East Coast. And come there, scriptures4america.org. Click on the live video stream and join us for church. I don't think you'll be disappointed. And so we want you to do that. Thank you for joining us here. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Thanks again for joining us.
Rolling, 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 stay high. This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating.
barking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out. Move